Well, good morning. How many of you know that we do need Labor Day every once in a while? I don't know about you, but I need a pause. It's one of those days where I just need a pause and just bask in the rest of our Lord. I think he's got some good things for us today, and I know that he does. I want to welcome our online campus. What an amazing congregation we have this morning on our 8:45 a.m. service. And I got to tell you, you know, before I start, so many things have happened in my world this past week. I see the Ramos family here, and our hearts go out to Domingo and Julie. We love you so much. We did the service for their son yesterday at Vistoso, and I want you to love on those two right there. We're a loving church, but I want for you guys to love on Domingo and Julie like you've never loved on anybody before, because they're special. And so that happened yesterday, and we got our roof was blown off this week, half of the roof, with a microburst that came through Oracle and knocked the flagpole and bent it in half, and knocked two signs down from two different businesses next to us, our neighbors. And so we took it for the team, though. We took the brunt of it. And some of them said, "I didn't even feel it." Well, thank you. You're welcome, by the way. You didn't feel it. You're talking about feeling it. So we went and we did a service came back, Sean, my wife, and I. And how many of you have had one of those moments? You ever had one of those moments? A lot of people don't like to share the moments, but I share everything, right? You know me. And so we come to the church. We had to go to Kearney and take care of some things in Kearney and the Copper Corridor campus. And so I'll never forget this spot, by the way. I'll never forget this spot here. And my wife was coming in from doing something, and I was coming off the stage, and I forgot that there's six steps there, and I think I went to the third step or fourth step, and I took a big step, thinking I'm coming on to the landing, to the floor. Well, it was a long ways to that landing, and so my wife, of course, she's walking. I'm talking as I'm doing this, you know, because I fall gracefully, by the way. And so I stopped my sentence, mid-sentence, and she is just, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" Well, the first thing I'm thinking as I'm falling is tuck and roll. I come from the barrio. You fall a lot in the barrio, you know what I mean? You either have people fall or you fall. And so tuck and roll, right? And so I'm in that place, and it is funny because she sends the meme or the reels. She sends it in our family group text of a bunch of stairs and a guy falling down the stairs, right? And so everyone's laughing. "Is he okay? Is he okay? Is Dad okay?" And then I send mine, and mine is tuck and roll, where a guy falls and he goes down and he comes up and he goes. That's what I saw. She saw. But we laughed for 2 hours. Well, I laughed for an hour and 45 minutes. I had to check myself for 15. Am I okay? Perspective, right? Perspective. And all of us are here with perspective and with different things. That's just one of the things where I had one of those moments, right? The other moment that I had is, so we have this series coming up, the mission series. And we've got four different missions that we're going to highlight that we support at Living Word Chapel. Karen Foltis will be here. She is a missionary at ASU, on the ASU campus there in Tempe, and she ministers predominantly to Muslims and has done that for years and does a wonderful, wonderful work there. She'll be here this next Sunday. And then we have Richard Lopez, who's the chaplain of the Arizona Wildcat football team. And so he will be here the week after that. And then we have Brian Yeager, who is one of the leaders for a ministry called Samaritan Aviation, where they have float planes in Papua New Guinea that they go into the villages of very unchurched, people that don't know the Lord. They're indigenous groups in New Guinea, and they come in and they help people with medical planes to take them to medical care, which is amazing. We partner with them as well. And then we have the last Sunday, Kim and Josie Pensinger will be here with a ministry called the Dominican Advance, and that's a school that was launched in the Dominican Republic. Kim will be talking about how God has used them to do that. They're poster child of the education system in the Dominican. Now they're in Cuba, and they started a school in Cuba, and it's incredible what God is doing through each one of them. And so this is Labor Day weekend, right? And Labor Day weekend falls on the first Sunday, usually, of September. So Pastor prepared a message for the first Sunday of September on missions. My wife and I are driving, and she said, "Babe, it's the 31st. Your mission series doesn't start until next Sunday." And I said, "What you talking about, Willis?" So next week's message is done. Let's go home. And the people that are new with us today, they're saying, what's that preacher saying? I'm hitting a mulligan today. We're going to be talking today about what you see on the door, on top of the doorway, our mission at Living Word Chapel, which is to love, empower, and transform people with and through the Living Word. The Living Word is what changes us. I can say this with full confidence that if it wasn't for the Word of God, I would not be who I am today. I can say this to you that, you know, I talk about my old life and how God rescued me and who I was. The reason that I have been able to withstand all of the pressures and the testing and the temptations and the fights with the devil and all the things that we all face as Christ followers is because I've been rooted in the Word. And I can count on my hands the times that I have not read the Word. Every day, I believe that the Word of God is food for us. It's a bread of life. And if you want to have the nutrients physically, then you eat every day. Amen? Physically. If you really want to have optimal health, you eat the right foods. Amen? You feel better. Well, if you want to have the nutrients and be healthy spiritually, you need the Word of God. The living Word of God. It's alive and well. It works in us. In fact, when you look at the scriptures, you find from the prophet Isaiah, God speaking through him. He says, so is my word. Here's the Lord speaking through Isaiah. It says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty or void, is one translation might say, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. God's word will fulfill God's purposes. If you want to have a purpose-driven life, then you will hone in to God's word. It will never return void to him. It will always fulfill his plan. And his plan is a good plan for you. You need to know, whoever you are here, whoever's watching online, that God's plan for you and for me is a good plan. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the enemy that you have, the devil, wants to steal from your life. He wants to kill you and everything good in you, and he wants to destroy the very existence of all the purpose that God has for you. And then Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and to give you life abundantly or to the full. So God's plan for us is incredible, but you'll never know God's plan without being in the Word. And 45 minutes or 35 minutes on a Sunday hearing a sermon, and you know me, but you know, 45 minutes, maybe 50. I had two people come up to me. One person today saying, Pastor, can you please end on time because I have something going on. And I said, well, yes, I will. You know me. And then this week I was talking to someone and they said, ooh, you have been ending on time recently. I said, well, you know, the Lord's speaking to me. No, the reality is that when we have an abundant life in God, God's word tells us, it promises that we can be full of God because God's word is alive. The writer of Hebrews put it like this, Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It has the power to deal with your spiritual needs. It has the power to change your physical needs as well. You see, God met me spiritually. I was spiritually dead. I was spiritually empty. I was spiritually depleted. And the Holy Spirit met me right there and made me spiritually alive to God through my faith in Jesus Christ. But it didn't stop there. He also worked on my physical life. He took me out of a physical existence in darkness and brought me into a physical existence in the light of God. Physically. I stopped doing dark things and I started walking in the things of light. Physically. Are you with me? So there was a transformation that happened inward, but there's a transformation that happens outward. It's the power of the Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes in and it cuts out anything that needs to be cut out in your life. How many of you in here would agree that there are things in our life that need to be cut out? There are sometimes relationships in our life that need to be cut out until we get healed and restored. And then God allows for us to minister to those people. So we're going to go to Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And the thrust of this psalm is to lead God's people to make his word the anchor of their lives. So the premise of this message is not only to tell you that this is our mission. Our mission statement is to be loved, empowered, and transformed through the living word, but also the thrust of it is for you to leave here today and settle the fact that you need the word of God in your life. You need it more than Fox Network. You need it more than CNN. If you're listening more to those networks, I'm going to tell you that your mind is going to be out of control. If you're binging on Netflix, if you're watching nothing but ESPN or what, all these things, and I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying that they're hurtful. I'm just saying if that's how you fill your life, if you fill your life with Facebook, if you fill your life with Instagram, if you fill your life with X, if you fill your life with all these things and neglect the word of truth, you're missing something. And when you have the word of truth, you're anchored in truth. So I'm going to give you some anchors, three of them from God's word. And when we get done with these, and you guys begin to pray that Pastor, you know, stays on track. When we get done with them, then you're gonna leave with them today. Here's the first anchor. God's love is revealed in his word. God's love is revealed in his word. Well, John 3:16 helps us with that, right? God so loved you that he gave his son so that you would not perish. Have you ever found yourself miserable because of choices in your life? Anybody in here, have you ever found yourself like on this side of those choices and you're just miserable because of what you did? You find yourself being down on yourself and you find yourself being down on others. And you come to the realization that misery enjoys what? Company. Now, it's never fun being miserable by yourself. One of the first things that I think is vital for you to identify is that what are you saturated with? Who are you saturated with? And especially what are you allowing to come into your mind? In our elders' prayer, we were talking about all the things that are going on in our lives, and we came to scripture, because we always read scripture and then we pray. We came to the scripture. Rob Walker brought it to us. I think it was wonderful, straight from the Holy Spirit, about to think about the things that are honorable, to think about the things that are true, to set our minds on the things that produce peace, from Philippians chapter 4. And David starts out Psalm 119, and look at what he says. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. So how many of you have a joyful life? I do. I can honestly say that I have a joyful life. Even when I fall down steps, we still laugh about it. Because that circumstance does not determine my joy. God does, right? And so joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all of their hearts, right? So we begin to let our hearts be molded and shaped by his word. We trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and we lean not on our own understanding. In every way, in every course of our life, we're going to acknowledge him, because he's going to make our road and our path straight, right? There's a promise from God that if you are anchored in his word, you will have joy. I'm going to say it again. There's a promise from God that you, if you're anchored in his word, you will have his joy. Now, here's the thing, beloved. You can't have his joy if you're in his word once a week. And you can't have his joy, if the only time that you get in his word is when someone speaks his word into your life. If you're dependent on the word being spoken through Pastor James or any other person, then it's not your joy, it's my joy. Are you with me? I'm taking the time. I'm taking the trouble. I'm taking, and sometimes it is troublesome. Sometimes you got to navigate through the difficulties and the complexities of life to get in his word. You got to make time. Anyone ever, you're looking for lunch, you need to eat lunch, you need to eat breakfast, but your schedule is not permitting that. How many of you just sneak a little bite somewhere? Right? How many of you just have, like a protein snack or whatever it may be to get something in your system, a burrito or whatever it may be? Here's what verse 3 of 119 says. These people do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his path. And here's the thing, that you will always be tempted to compromise. But always know this, beloved, know this, that when you compromise, it'll steal your joy. And more than that, it'll steal God's joy that he's producing in you. The devil wants you to compromise. The world wants you to compromise, not God. The only way for us not to compromise is to have God's word hidden in our hearts. And when you have God's word hidden in your hearts, you hear the voice of God. And you can compare the difference between evil and good. Amen? You can discern the difference, or the difference between good and evil. There's a difference between deceit and truth. And the only way that you identify that is through the word. And when you understand that God loves you so much, He loves James Reese so much that God wants to guard me from sin. That's the Father's heart. He wants to guard me from sin. And the way that he does that is when I lean into his word. Are you tempted, Pastor? All the time. Do you have bad thoughts come in, Pastor? All the time. You know how I cleanse the bad thoughts? Through his word. I believe this word more than my thoughts. I believe these words more than what other people are saying. When people talk good about me, I believe his word that tells me I'm not all that in a bag of chips without Jesus. When people talk good about me, when people talk bad about me, I believe his word that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you with me? And so you will be guarded from falling into the temptations of sin. And when you fall into the temptations of sin, it's miserable. It's a miserable existence. And God wants to guard you from that. And he does it through his word. In verse 4, it says, "You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully." The psalmist, as he's writing that, he says, "You've charged us. You're leading us. You're saying, come, go this way. Keep your statutes, your ways." Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, he said, "One commandment I leave to you, that you love one another." Why did Jesus leave that commandment to his disciples? Why is that the most important thing? Is for us to love one another. Because we're going to be tempted not to. We're going to be tempted to allow hate to divide us. Have you ever found that to be true? Have you ever seen churches where there's no love? You walk in and there's a lot of religiosity, but there's no love. Because love loves you in every season of your life. Love is there when you're doing good, but love is there when you're doing bad. And there's people that walk through the doors here at this campus, here and at the campus in Kearney, that they come in with a lot of very dire circumstances. There's someone that just came in today. I love him so very much, and he's going through a difficult time, and I know that, and he's here. He's here right now, and he needs to know that he's loved with unconditional love, that he's going to get through what he's going through, that God's not done with him yet. The devil's trying to destroy him, but God is bigger. And you know how you reveal that? You love people through it. Verse 5 goes on, it says, "Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees." And we talked about this in our elders meeting. We talked about how do we change the lives of people that are going through some difficulties in their faith. You know, they're struggling with their faith. Anyone know somebody that you're struggling with your faith? People are struggling. I don't know if I believe. I don't know if God is real. I don't know. Let me tell you how you change them. Number one, you internalize God's word and you let his word change your actions, and they can't come against that. There's love in your life, that that you live a life of integrity, and that right there speaks louder than all the words you will ever speak to them. That's exactly what the psalmist says. That my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. We can do it. In the Lord. We can bear the fruit of the Spirit with the Lord. Not by our own doing, but by his doing. Here's what I know for sure about James Reese, is that I'm a different person than I was when Jesus found me. Here's what I know about James Reese. He's not done with me yet. And you in here, it will be the word of God that will begin to shape you and change you and make you who God called you to be. "Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands." In other words, they're going to match up. See, this is not given to us to condemn us. It's given to us to strengthen us. It's given to us to uphold us, to make us who we are. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. So his word is transformational. His word has the ability to change us because of his love for us. I obey your decrees. And then the psalmist, like we do, like we cry out, please don't give up on me. Here's what you need to know, beloved, is that God never gives up on people. The devil will say, where's God? And I'm here to tell you that God is with you. You're here because of God. You're watching online because of God. He drew you, whatever the circumstances, whatever the situation, God drew you so that you could hear his voice. And so when you begin to open up the word of God, the devil doesn't want you to open up the word of God because there's power in the word of God. When you open up the word of God, you're going to hear the voice of God speak to you. And he wants to uphold you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to help you identify the things that are toxic in your life. Anyone in here ever had toxicity in their lives? Yeah. And it was the word of God that began to show me what that is. Religion doesn't do that. Religion says you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. It's what you're doing for God. Christianity is what God has done for us. He wants to walk alongside with you. Here's the second anchor. God's word will empower you. He will empower you so that you can live a victorious life. God wants for you to have victory. He wants for me to walk in victory. God doesn't keep anything bad from you or me. Did you know that? He wants the best for you. Every command that the Lord has given us is to prevent heartache in our lives. Here's the thing about heartache. When heartache prevailed in my life, it was because I was walking very distant from God. When God brought me in, then God began to nurture me. Now, I'm not saying that bad things do not happen when you walk with God, but it's a different lens that you have when you're with God. Amen? You see things a lot different when you're walking with the Lord. You see things from a different perspective. You understand that there are things that are behind the veil that we don't understand, like the life of Job. Job was going through all kinds of difficulties, but he never lost his integrity. He never cursed God. He held on to the only one that would be able to get him through. And I'm speaking to someone here today, that the difficulty you're going through, the only one that will sustain you in the difficulty is Jesus Christ. I can make you a promise that he will. I can make you a promise that he's the same Savior that on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, that's the same Savior that we hold on to because he understands pain. He understands abandonment. But he found, after he spoke that prophetic word, he found that death did not have the last word. Are you with me? I went and prayed with a lady this week, and she's been put in home hospice, and her husband was about to come into the church this morning, and he said, I can't do it, and he left back with his wife, and they're going through a very difficult time, and one of the things that I was able to do when I'm there with his wife and pray with her is just to give her the assurance that everything that she has believed is true. Because how many of you know that when you're facing the door of death, that your faith is tested to the very, very core. And we just need to know that everything we believed is true. Amen? How do I do that? His word. His word being embedded in my heart and in my soul. How do we overcome? We do it through his word. The psalmist goes on, he says this, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. The word of God is what keeps us in line, in check. Dwight Moody, the great expositor of the word of God, he says, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. When God says to obey, when he says, follow my ways, he'll give you the power to be able to follow his ways. And I believe this with all of my heart. That doesn't mean that you're not going to fall at different times and that we have mishaps. But here's what I know for sure. God's not going to tell you something if he's not going to help you through it. Amen? And so he wants to anchor us in the truth. The Holy Spirit will develop self-control in each of our lives so that we're able to overcome the things that are trying to destroy our lives. Verse 10, I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. And look at what he says. This is the Holy Spirit leading the psalmist. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we want to live a life of integrity, we have got to hide the word of God in our hearts. That is the secret to success in your life. Not only as a Christian, but in general. If you want to walk a life of victory, you have got to allow the word of truth to embed your heart and your life. He goes on, he says, I praise you, O Lord, teach me your decrees. And I love that because it tells me that praise comes before petitions or asking God for anything, that when you praise God, it never fails. It never fails. I come into this campus or the campus in Kearney, and as I'm walking in, I may feel kind of, you know, I don't have this emotions going high, or I may feel drained or tired or whatever. And something happens when we begin to worship and praise the Lord. I can't even explain it. It happens every single time. When we praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit begins to do something in my heart and in my mind. And the psalmist says, I praise you, O Lord. Before he says, teach me your decrees, I just want to tell you you're worth it. I love you, Lord. I don't even understand the season I'm in, but I'm going to trust you in this season. And Lord God, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of glory. And then when you begin to do that, your mind is open for him to begin to instruct you in the way that you need to go. All of us in here, we need direction. But before we need direction, we need to know there's a God in heaven who loves us. And he's worthy for you to do this. He's worthy for you to lift up your hands. I was watching the kickoff yesterday of the NCAA football. I was watching it's amazing in those stadiums. I love football. I love collegiate football. I love the NFL. I love all that stuff. But it's amazing to me that in those stadiums, the people go nuts over these 22 people that are on the field that have so many problems off the field. They need a Savior. And so if we were to take that same enthusiasm in the church and praise the living God, who's perfect and worthy, can I tell you what would happen? If we were to do that, our lives would look so much different. Did you know that? If we were to give that much attention to the living God, who's worthy of all praise, all glory. Did you know that in heaven it tells us that the elders, 24 elders, and all the heavenly host, they worship the Lord day and night? Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. They just worship him and just think, what if we were for just a moment, beloved? What if we were, you know, when Shauna was extolling you guys, do you think that that was Shauna or maybe the Holy Spirit saying, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. He's worthy to be lifted up. And then sometimes we're thinking like, oh my goodness, she's like over the top. Maybe it's not that she's over the top. Maybe that the Lord wants to take us to a different place. Maybe the Lord wants us to be welcomed into the Holy of Holies. He wants to bring us into a place where praise becomes a part of our lives. And the more that praise becomes part of your life, the more that God is in your life, because he inhabits the praises of his people. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations that you have given us. And this is so important. I was taught very, thank you, Lord Jesus. I was taught very early in my walk the power of reciting scripture aloud. I was taught that not only to read it silently sometimes, but sometimes you have got to say it out loud. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you say that not only to yourself, but to every demon that wants to destroy your life. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And you declare it out loud. There's this high-level leader that calls me at different times, and we have these conversations. And he says, one of the things that he does, and this is in his workspace, and he's done very well. He's a CEO of a company. He says, as he's driving from one place to another, he actually communicates the problem that he's going through with the solution, and he talks it out in the vehicle as he's going to a place, as he's driving by himself. You know what? I got this problem financially. I've got to meet this $800,000, you know, situation, and I've got to make a million, you know, 1.2, and I'm going to do it this way, 1, 2, 3, 4. He's talking it out because there's something powerful about confession. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner in Christ. I'm not a product of my past. I'm not the drug addict I used to be. I'm not the alcoholic I used to be. I am a child of the living God. And you begin to exercise who you are and take authority over that. And then you declare his promises over you. And this is not like some kind of magical potion. This is the word of truth. The word of truth. Look at what he says. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. In other words, Lord God, I thank you for your word more than I do all the money I have in the bank. Because that money right there is not going to bring me happiness without you. Amen? He said, I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will study. So sometimes, beloved, it's good to study the word. It's good. We have so many people coming to how to study the Bible. It's incredible to see on Thursday nights, and they're coming and they're learning things that they've never learned before, because there's one thing about reading the Bible for edification. There's another thing about studying the Bible for knowledge and knowing the deeper things of God. And every one of us have the ability to do that. There's not like special knowledge. It's not Gnosticism. It's not like Pastor James has special knowledge. No. Anybody who will study the word of God will produce something in their lives that they will never have without studying. I will delight in your decrees, and I will not forget your word. Say that. I will delight in your decrees, O Lord, and I will not forget your word. Lord, I forgot that this Sunday was not the message that I was supposed to, that I prepared for. But I will not forget your word. Amen? Here's the third anchor. God's word will transform your life so that you can experience a new you. When I first came to God, I came in desperation. I was in a desperate state. I was spiritually dead. And Jesus transformed my life. And every person, when you first come to God, most people, you're in a place that you want to get out of. I was filled with anxiety. I was filled with irrational fears. I was filled with so many dumb decisions in my life that it brought so many bad results. I needed something. But it wasn't something that I needed. I needed someone. And most of us come to God in that way. There's something missing in your life. There's a God-shaped void in our soul that only Jesus can fill. Amen? And I felt like at times I felt like if I was just dirt. My worth had been sucked out of me. The psalmist speaks to it. I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word. And just like God spoke the world into existence and he brought life to a dark and void existence, he created man from the dust. How? By his word. And every time you read his word, you are transformed with his life. Every time you pause in your busy schedule to prioritize his word, he brings life into you. He said in verse 26, I told you my plans and you answered. Now teach me, Lord, your decrees. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. In other words, God's people, he knows that there are some things, I'm going to fail. There are some things. It's been one of those weeks. He knows that there are some things in our life that are sometimes difficult to understand. Amen? The psalmist says that right there. Help me understand, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. We've been there. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. And give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. Do you notice how he goes back and goes back and goes back to the word of truth? And how do we lie to ourselves? We lie to ourselves when we say, I don't need God. I can do it my way. If I have the next best thing, then I'll be fulfilled. That's a lie. The more money I make, the more sexual partners that I have, the more likes that I have on social media, all of these will stroke your ego, but they will leave you empty. I watched a powerful documentary on YouTube about this, and we talked about it in our elders. About this woman that got caught up in prostitution in Las Vegas, Nevada. And she told her story. And as she was sharing her story about getting caught up in that, how the devil just sucked her in. And before she knew it, she was bringing in thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, not to her, but to her pimp, which sex traffickers. And she talked about all of these years of doing this and how all she wanted was someone to love her. And every time she went into a trick, an act, she thought maybe this is the one. And then Jesus came into her life and set her free. She talked about the thousands, not hundreds, but thousands of times that she had been violated and what the devil had stolen from her life. But let me tell you, it all started with a lie. That's extreme. But some of us in here have believed the lie of the devil and the world and the flesh for a long time. And today God is saying it's time for you to believe the truth. Amen? It's to believe the truth that God has a plan for your life, and the only way you're going to find that plan is going to be in his word. He says in verse 30 of the psalmist, I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations. And always remember this, beloved, that the greater choice in your life is always the harder choice and the wiser choice. In other words, the harder choices of our lives produce the wisest choices of our lives. And some of you that are in here right now, it was a hard choice even to be here. Some of you that are watching online, it was a hard choice to maybe tune in. But let me tell you, that hard choice will produce a wise choice if you allow his word to become central in your life. And your life could be changed forever today if you surrender your life to God and let him take over. And so I want to close with that. I want to close with you thinking about surrendering your life to God Almighty. As we finish up, I cling to your laws, Lord. Don't let me be put to shame. I'm talking to someone today that you feel shameful. You feel like if you don't have any worth, that's the lie from the pit of hell. You're worth everything to Jesus. I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. And so I just want all heads to be bowed right now as we begin to go into prayer. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Thank you for your word. God's been speaking to you this morning, and he's been speaking to you about the difference between truth and a lie. The difference between transformation and maybe just information. The difference between empowerment and living a life of being stifled with regret and being defined by your past. I believe that God brought someone here today because he wants to walk with you. He wants for you to enjoy a relationship with him where you will understand him for who he is. You'll read the words of the Bible and they'll become alive to you. But that can never happen without Jesus. And so I'm going to pray a prayer with you this morning. Just a simple prayer where you just open up your heart to God and you allow for him to just take over your life. And when he does, you'll never be the same. And I can testify to that because that happened to me 30 years ago. And I'll tell you right now that Jesus has never left me. He has never forsaken me. He has stood with me through the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. And he's a worthy Savior because he's God and he's alive and well. And so this prayer is a prayer that I want you to pray or agree with me. If you're at this place in your life, just say, Lord, I come to you today and I surrender my life to you, Lord. Jesus, I welcome you into my life. I ask you, Lord, to become my Lord and my Savior. I choose today to follow you from this day forward, Lord God, to put my old life behind and to start my new life in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If with all heads bowed still at this time, if you agree with that prayer, if that's your prayer for today, will you just raise your hand and just say, that's me, I prayed that prayer. Yeah, I see your hands, beautiful. I see all, yes, amen. I see all your beautiful hands, a lot of people raising their hands. Thank you, Lord God. So really now you can look at me. What you're saying is that Jesus take over, and he did. And he will not leave you, he will not forsake you, he will stand with you no matter what you're going through. Let's stand and worship our King.
White as snow, he washed me white as snow. He washed me white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up. His life up from the dead.
Oh,
praise the one who paid my debt and raised His life up from the dead.
Can we give Him some praise before we go out the door this morning? We praise You, Lord. That same Jesus is alive and well, living in you, so take Him with you. When you go out, share Him, shine bright. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.